Hello and welcome to World Music Matters with me, Alison Hurd. Our guest this week is French flute player and composer Jean-Luc Thomas. He began playing Celtic music in his native Brittany, but has spent most of his life travelling the world to India, Kurdistan, Mali, Niger, Brazil, playing and recording with and learning from different musicians. In fact, as you'll hear, he considers everyone and everything he encounters as his teacher. And his most recent teacher is equine. Thomas is part of a quartet playing live at a show called Ex Anima by French avant-garde circus and equestrian artist Batabas. He plays different flutes during the show, and I began by asking him whether he thought the horses were sensitive to music.
Horses are sensitive to sounds. Music, I don't know exactly, but sounds, yes, definitely. But in a different way for each horse. For me, a lot sensitive to the same sound or same things. But yeah, definitely. I can see every night that I play here the interaction between not especially music, but sounds. It's a connection that we organize here during the rehearsals. We first started acoustic, but before that, all the team here play to them lots of flute sounds before we arrive to play. And when we start, they first listen to our recordings, and then we arrive acoustic, and then we start to plug and put some sound on the theater. And during the last weeks of creation, getting a little bit higher every night till what you will hear tonight, which can be sometimes quite loud.
Just tell me why Batabas wanted flutes to be involved in the music in this show.
He wanted to bring something connected to the breath of the soul. That's the idea of this show. Ex anima means that comes from the soul, that comes from the breath. And so he wanted only to have people breathing for this special show and connected to sort of universal tradition in a recomposed nature. So there is also animal sounds of birds and of frogs.
And your experience then of playing the flute, because you'd play many, many different kinds of flute, can you tell us a bit about why you love this instrument and the kind of relationship that you have with it?
It's a lot of story. In fact, I went in a concert of the Chieftains, of the band The Chieftains, and I heard Matt Molloy playing, Irish flute player, fantastic Irish master, plays a wooden flute, and pow, something happened to me. And then I start to play by myself, because at that time there was no flute tradition in Brittany, where I live. Yeah, so I have to manage, and that was my way in life, that everybody I could meet was my teacher. So I learned a little bit to play the flute by myself, but I learned music with the others. So I think horses can be considered as some of my teachers also in my musical trip. India, in South India, North and South India, to meet some musicians in Rajasthan and also in Carnatic tradition. I recorded an album with Ravi Chandra Kulur, which was the last flute player of the career of Ravi Shankar, and still plays with Anushka, and is amazing master of Carnatic music. I recorded two albums with Yakuba Mubuni, which is a great master of the Pearl tradition in Niger. So we recorded one album in Niger, another one in Brittany, and I was also artistic advisor of their band Mama Cassé, last recording.
Are you saying that actually the flute is in a way a very universal, a very common instrument?
In the music, you first have the basic instrument is the voice. In every country of the world, you have a vocal tradition. Then you have the rhythm that arrives with anything you can find. You have the rhythm. And then arrives the flute. The first basic flute is made from a bone. And then in the whole world, you have a flute. Not the same flute. You have the transverse flute, you have the straight flute, and you can have ocarinas. You have very, very different flutes, and some of them are, for me, impossible to play. So if you're a flute player, you can't play all the flute. But you can be connected to this breathing, and in some tradition, for instance, in the world, you have also this connection, strange connection of the flute function and the shepherd work from Krishna to the West Africa tradition, to some French shepherds, to Slovakia, and in South America with the Kena tradition. So this is universe connection of the flute with the work of shepherd. So there is some kind of spiritual and guidance idea connected to this instrument.
Let's talk a little bit about your latest album, Calaveo, which you recorded with a group of musicians from Brazil.
Yeah. I met Vitor Lopez, a harmonica player who plays a choro from São Paulo 20 years ago. Choro is a kind of music, dancing music, urban music that you can find in basically in São Paulo, Rio, Brasilia, but now you have choro bands in Paris, in everywhere. The choro is very famous. You have a table, people roda de choro, people play, have beers, and people dance and sing. Choro means crying in Portuguese, so it's love song very often, but it's also a very impressive instrumental music, the choro. And so Vitor plays the choro in São Paulo, he's very famous there. And we met 20 years ago. So he went to Brittany, I went to Brazil. We played together in different combination. And in 2015, he asked me to create a band with Carlos Antunes on the guitar, Gabriel Levy accordion, piano, Toninho Carrasquera on the silver flute, Pedro Ito on the drums, and Rui Barossi on the double bass. Calaveo is my address, it's my village in Brittany. And so, all the musicians said, yeah, that's a good name for a Brazilian band. So that's how was created Calaveo.
I read that Calaveo means, in Breton, home of the audacious.
Yes, the farm of the audacious, yeah.
What do you think there is audacious about the album, about this band?
Oh, I don't know. It's the way we play music together. Because we love each other, we are not afraid to mix music from the south of Brazil with a Breton dance or connected to Japanese influences or Jewish tradition. So maybe we are audacious, we don't know.
Country you have not yet been to that you would like to go to and play music and share music?
I don't know. I don't expect anything. I was so lucky this last August to discover Estonia. I never thought I could go in Estonia and what could I do? And I met amazing people and amazing music, amazing landscapes there. So I just let life opening doors and windows, and I will be so happy to discover new places. There are so many unexpected and unknown places for me that I will be happy everywhere.
Jean-Luc Thomas, do you think in any way that music can be something of a saviour?
For me, of course. For me, of course. It saved my life. Because I didn't know what to do in my life when I was a kid, you know, a teenager and young adult. And this is, for me, this flute, and to practice music, it's a compass. It's very hard, tough discipline. You have to work every day. You have to be very connected and don't drink, take care of your body, of food, of what you drink, what you do, exercise. And so it helps a lot you to go in life. So, of course, it's a spiritual travel. Yacouba Moumouni is an amazing flute player who left his family when he was 7 years old. He crossed the desert and he went in Niamey's capital, and he was in the street, and he told me that if he didn't meet the flute, he would have been to jail, would have been a drug gangster.
Dealer.
Or dealer, drug dealer. No, the flute gave him his
direction.
Yes, of course, of course. And he helped so many people. I know so many examples I can tell you. We should all play music and sing and work for good health and good vibe in the world.
That was Jean-Luc Thomas, ending this edition of World Music Matters from Radio France International. And we're playing out this week with a recording he made with tuba and serpent player Michel Godard on the album La Belle Femme qui Pleure. We'll be speaking to Godard in a few weeks' time about the remarkable serpent he plays. But until next week, thanks for listening. And remember, you can subscribe to World Music Matters on most podcast platforms. From me, Alison Hurd, bye for now. Thank you.